Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Glad you've joined us. Currently in Greenville, Spartanburg Airport, 73 degrees. Downtown Greenville, 74. Anderson, 73. And Clemson, 74. Today, partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 90s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain, 30%. Yes, it's going to be hot again here in the upstate, in other words. And fair skies, so get you out of your house and get on your way to your cubicle so you can enjoy that air-conditioned, controlled climate environment. What do we have on the news today? Well, we have quite a few things going on. I want to make a couple quick announcements. First of all, I want to let you know that there's another Institute on the Constitution which is going to take place with five consecutive Saturdays beginning August the 6th. And it goes through August 13th, 20th, 27th, and September 3rd, 8:30 to noon, hosted by Bible Baptist Church, 2522 Gentry Memorial Highway, that's Highway 8 in Pickens. If you have one more information, call Mark Dibbler at 864-421-2714. That's 864-421-2714. Well, here's an interesting email that came in over the weekend. It's from Charles, and he says, John, I have a few quotations for you from Martin Luther. I don't know what to make of them. Maybe you could take a shot at it. Sounds like I'm being baited here, but I'm going to go ahead and read what he has to say. Martin Luther, the Jews and their lies, dated 1543. So that's almost 500 years ago. They live among us in our homes, under our protection, use land and highways, market and streets. Princes and governments sit by, snore and have their maws open. Let the Jews take from their purse and chest, steal and rob whatever they will. That is, they permit themselves and their subjects to be abused and sucked dry and reduced to beggars with their own money through the usury of the Jews. For the Jews as foreigners certainly should have nothing from us, and what they have certainly must be ours. They do not work, do not earn anything from us, neither do we donate or give it to them. Yet they have our money and our goods and our lords in our land where we are supposed to be in exile. If a thief steals 10 golden, he must hang. If he robs people on the highway, his head is gone. But a Jew, when he steals 10 tons of gold through his usury, is dearer than God himself. What do I think about these things? Well, it sounds like Martin Luther was pretty upset about usury and the Jews using usury in the land, and he also sounds like he was quite a nationalist. But well, I don't know. It sounds like something I wouldn't probably talk about today, you know, as an ethnic issue. But I will say this much: that people who control banking industries, especially our Federal Reserve System, can be very heinous creatures, because not only do they get rich and wealthy off of folks through the monopolization of the money supply, but they literally control the economy. They could bring it to its knees at any moment. It's one of the most evil institutions we have today, is the Federal Reserve System. Whether the Jews had that kind of power, I don't know. Evidently, they got rich through using the free market. I'm not sure why that would be a problem. Didn't say here that they were forcing people to take usury or to pay interest to them to take their money. Sounds like maybe Germans or whoever it was, Saxons at the time, did not have a very good control of their own debt and willingness to use credit, and as a result, got indebted to a bunch of Jews. How do I know? Well, I don't know why I've been asked the question exactly, Charles, I'm not sure exactly what the purpose is, other than to stir up some controversy, but it's not an area I really know a lot about, so I better not comment further. If someone of you have some comments about this, don't hesitate to give us a call, 864-244-8177, that's 864-244-8177, or our backup line, 864-201-6955. Here's some more quotes from I'll just read a couple more, and then comments from Charles. Do not their Talmud and rabbis write that it is no sin to kill if a Jew is a heathen, but it is a sin if he kills a brother in Israel? It is no sin if he does not keep his oath to a heathen. Therefore, to steal and rob, as they do with their money lending from a heathen, is a divine service, and they are masters of the world, and we are their servants, yea, their cattle. I don't see how it's stealing if you voluntarily enter a contract with somebody. Should someone think I am saying too much, I am saying too little, for I see in their writings how they curse us goyim and wish we were all wish as all evil in their schools and prayers. They rob us of our money through usury wherever they are able. They play us all manners of mean tricks. No heathen has done such things, and none would do so except the devil himself and those whom he possesses, and he possesses the Jews. Well, that part's no doubt there's some truth to being possessed by Satan if you're holding to the Jewish religion, as all false religions. Interesting. Well, I know there's also the whole issue of usury in the scriptures. Christians are not to owe money to one another either. Romans chapter 13 makes this pretty clear. What should be the regulation from Christians lending money to other Christians? Well, it seems like there should be really no loans ultimately, that things should be ended up as gifts to some extent, but this isn't that easy to say financially. In a modern society in which we live in, I don't think you have to donate whatever your assets are to any Christian who doesn't want to pay back the loan. As a matter of fact, I don't think it's wrong even for Christians to be in the business of making certain loans available, but that's a very controversial issue. What about the charging usury or interest to non-believers? Can we do that? Well, this is a whole other issue, a whole other area to open up and discuss. Be happy to talk about it here on Christian Worldview today. Seems to me that we have to do good to all men, Galatians 6:10 says, especially those who are the household of faith. So there's something about not being malicious in lending money. But is there an unjust level of usury or of interest charged? I don't think so. But I'd be open to listen to other comments on that, because this is an issue that does come up from time to time. I remember reading some things in Rush Dooney years ago that talked about this matter, and it'd be interesting to bring up again. Well, here's something else we want to make sure you're aware of. In the dark about cultural issues, about differences in political parties, about the Constitution of the United States, about NAFTA, CAFTA, FTAA, the South Carolina Constitution Party invites you to a gathering of constitutionally minded people Thursday, July 21st, 2005 at 7 o'clock. It's going to be held at the Augusta Road Branch Library, 100 Lydia Street in Greenville, South Carolina. Call 864-242-4474 for more information. That's 864-242-4474. Finally, we have a good announcement from the Constitution Party in there. It looks like they're going to start having regular meetings this Thursday. The only thing that's unfortunate about this is that the same night this week, we have the League of the South meeting at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant at 6:30 p.m., Woodruff Road, across from the Greenville Mall. So I guess for those people who like to go to different meetings in the upstate, you'll have to pick that night whether you go to the Constitution Party meeting or to the League of the South meeting. I think the Constitution Party is aware of their making the meeting on the same night as League of the South now, and they're probably going to change that to a different night so in the future there's not a conflict. But if you have any want more information and you want to attend, call 864-242-4474 for a meeting on the South Carolina of the South Carolina Constitution Party. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're going to jump to a quick break and we'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20 and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
You know, some of this stuff that Charles sent is so interesting. I wasn't going to read any more of it, but I'll have to admit I've been reading the rest of it here, especially about Calvin, and I thought I would continue to read a little bit more of it. In fact, I won't read all of this here, but the second page that he sent in was quite interesting. He says this. Unfortunately, not all among the convert Jews have proved faithful to their mission. Many of them have even betrayed us. But on the other hand, others have kept their promise and honored their word. The Council of Elders has proved successful. We are the fathers of all revolutions, even those which sometimes happen to turn against us. We are the supreme masters of peace and war. We can boast of being creators of the Reformation. Calvin was one of our children. He was of Jewish descent, and was entrusted by the Jewish authority, encouraged with Jewish finance, to draft his scheme in the Reformation. Martin Luther yielded to the influence of his Jewish friends unknowingly, and again, by Jewish authority and with Jewish finance, his plot against the Catholic Church was met with success. But unfortunately, he discovered the deception and became a threat to us, so we disposed of him, as we have so many others who dare to oppose us. Philip II, by William Thomas Walsh, page 248 of The Origin of Calvin, whose real name was Chauvin. See also Lucian Wolfe in Transactions, Jewish Historical Society of England, volume 11, page 8, Goris Les Colones, I can't read French, History of the Inquisition of Spain, volume 3, page 413. Many countries, including the United States, have already fallen to our scheming, but the Christian Church is still alive. We must destroy it without the least delay and with the slightest mercy. Most of the press in the world is under our control. Let us therefore encourage in a still more violent way the hatred of the world against the Christian Church. Let us intensify our activities in the poisoning the morality of the Gentiles. Let us spread the spirit of revolution in the minds of the people. They must be made to despise patriotism and love of their family, to consider their faith as a humbug, their obedience to their Christ as a degrading servility, so that they become deaf to the appeal of the Church and blind to her warnings against us. Let us, above all, make it impossible for Christians to be reunited or for non-Christians to join the Church. Otherwise, the greatest obstruction to our domination will be strengthened and all our work undone. Our plot will be unveiled and Gentiles will turn against us. And the spirit of revenge and our domination over them will be realized. Let us remember that as long as there still remain active enemies in the Christian Church, we may hope to become master of the world. And let us remember always that the future Jewish king will never reign in the world before Christianity is overthrown. This is from the London Catholic Gazette, February 1936, and in Paris, Le Revue du Peuple, whatever it is, Well, he thinks it's very odd indeed. Is this a fact or a fiction? Charles asks. It must be too much for us to talk about. This must be too much to talk about on the program. Well, perhaps it is, but it is interesting. I don't know if any of this stuff is verifiable or you know. And just because you have a citation here doesn't mean it's necessarily true. But it does raise it does pique my interest, to say the least. I don't know what difference it makes if Calvin truly was of Jewish descent, but if there truly is some conspiracy of Jewish people. It would be interesting to find out more about it. How in the world is it pulled off if that's the case is another question for so many generations, for 500 years. Is there some sort of council that is run? I mean, how in the world can you have an intergenerational conspiracy other than by Satan himself? And maybe that's what their conclusion is. This is a satanic conspiracy against the church, and he's making war against the offspring who keep the testimony of Jesus Christ, as Revelation 12:17 says. Could well be. I can't say I have a whole lot of comments on it other than that I've made, because it's all new to me, pretty much. But I appreciate you sending in the email this morning, Charles. And if any callers, again, have any comments about it, by all means, give us a call at 864-244-8177. Well, let's talk about something really gross. How about who are the sex offenders next door from Fox News? This actually came out a little while ago, but thought I'd read it again here because it seemed like a relevant story. Always to keep before us. This was out of Highlands Ranch, Colorado, when the sheriff's deputies alerted residents of family-friendly Highlands Ranch, Colorado, that a registered violent sex offender had chosen to begin a new life in their town. Parents went into an uproar. "We had the perception this was a safe place for children to be, and obviously fears have been raised," said one resident, John Watham. Along with some of his neighbors, Watham is updating his security system and making sure his kids are never alone. "Within walking distance, you have an elementary school, you have a middle school, and a high school. You have parks," added Watham. Michael Carroll, age 36, is a repeat sexual offender fresh out of prison. He spent a total of 10 years in Florida jails for various sexual offenses with teenage boys. He had no therapy, and he understands why neighbors don't want him next door. "At this point right now, Mr. Carroll has no restrictions placed on him," said Lieutenant Alan Stanton of the Douglas County Sheriff's Department. "He's not on probation, not on parole." Carroll said he's looked at as a freak, and when asked if he thought he was still dangerous to the neighborhood kids, he paused, then responded, if I'm not supervised, yes." Aside from a temporary sheriff's watch, Carroll is supervised by a former employee and his wife. "Michael's a great guy, don't get me wrong, but that doesn't mean I will trust him as far as I can throw him," said Jerry Adams, an ex-con himself who lives nearby. Yeah, a great guy who molests boys. Yeah, somebody has a different standard than I do, evidently. Every state and the federal government has a website with a list of sex offenders. According to the latest Bureau of Justice statistics, Carroll is one of more than 386,000 registered sex offenders in the United States. But those are just the ones who have been caught. Well, this is it, you know, these kind of stories are chilling, and to say the least. And it's even more chilling if you go to the Department of Justice website and look up how many there are in the upstate of South Carolina. There are hundreds of registered sex offenders in Greenville County, hundreds more in Spartanburg County and in Anderson County. They are literally all over the place. And one was seen recently not too far from my home in a pool, common pool area. Where my children have been known to go at times, and guess who was in the bathroom? One of these guys from Spartanburg County had driven over here, and he was in the bathroom talking to these boys and so forth. Well, they eventually some parents saw this guy doing some very strange things in the bathroom. Won't go into detail on the air here, and asked him what in the world was going on, and basically talked to him and shoot him off, and found out later. From a picture or whatnot, that this guy was a registered sex offender, some kind of pervert coming, and he was living up in Spartanburg County. Just came over to prey on children in the development. So this is a scary sort of thought, and when you think about it, it also shows the complete failure of the state to protect us from these folks. Glad that we have information about them, obviously, but why do we have these kinds of sex offenders at any rate? Well, because there's no deterrent for it, and not only that, but because public schooling and the whole doctrine of the media today is moving radically towards this sort of of lifestyle as acceptable. I mean, we joked the other day about instead of having Heather has two mommies, Heather's mommy has feathers. And why not go to the next stage? I mean, you've left and departed from the heterosexual norm of the scriptures and allowed now in the public school and the media, it's a commonplace for people not to think, well, so what, you know, lesbianism, homo, you know, no big deal. It's just an alternative lifestyle. That's what people say. Well, then they move on to bestiality. Well, that's the next stage, I suppose. Or why not sex with children? I mean, what's to stop these people if they're going to violate God's law and God's way, and on the one hand, what's to stop them from going all the way down to the next degraded step of lifestyle? So right now they're registered sex offenders, but the state is undermining its own opinion on these sorts of things simply because it's promoting all this alternative lifestyle stuff. I mean, why do institutions like this NAMBLA, this National Association of Man Boy Love Association or something like that, why is this even allowed to exist? Why would anybody condone pedophilia by not shutting down the organization? You know, if the state's really interested in taking care of these kinds of people, it's just bizarre to me. It just doesn't make any sense at all. The sex offenders next door, they're everywhere, folks. Check it out on the web. You'll be surprised just how many people there are in Greenville County or anywhere else if you live in the upstate of South Carolina. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll hop to a quick break here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
And are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month, and last month it was at Greenville County Library Malden branch off of Butler Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the meetup, they say, at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street downtown. We'd love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. And this story was emailed in from one of our TRN researchers. America's Loss of the Rule of Law, from News with Views, July 18th, by Frosty Wooldridge. Boy, that'd be kind of a funny name to have in a way, Frosty. Anyway, well, I don't want to be, I'm not making fun of somebody's name. It just struck me like Frosty the Snowman or something like that. You know, guy's name's Frosty. What can I say? Anyway, the News With You says, California essentially lost its sovereignty, said Los Angeles Sheriff Lee Baca. There are 40,000 illegal aliens in the state prison system here. 23% of the jail population in Los Angeles County is illegal aliens. Those words from the top cop in California illustrate the loss of the rule of law in America. Over 3 million illegal aliens operate in the Golden State, with an estimated 20 million free roaming illegal aliens and 10,000 making it over the borders 24/7. This country is in trouble. When Border Patrol agents catch illegal aliens, they let them go. In January 2004, agents caught 96,000 border jumpers. After arresting them, agents transported them back to the border without so much as a slap on the wrist. Why? Congress won't allow detainment. One alien said it was his 11th time being captured and that he would try again. Agents catch 1 in 5. That's why we have 20 million illegals that have flaunted the rule of law. John W. Slagle, 30-year-old Border Patrol agent and intelligence officer in his book Illegal Entry, said terrorists can easily walk into America carrying rocket-propelled grenade from the border with jihad on their minds. They could easily park themselves at the end of any U.S. airport runway and launch a rocket into an incoming or outgoing 747. I don't know about easily, but yeah, maybe they. I suppose anyone with enough planning could do any of these kinds of things. At any rate, just a couple of comments. There's some assumptions here. First of all, that the state is capable of closing the border, and that the people who are border guards have an incentive to actually stop illegals from entering. What incentive do they have? First of all, if they were to eliminate them from crossing the border entirely, they would lose their jobs. So they don't want to do that. They have no sense of duty or civic worth. They have no real incentive to actually stop the people from crossing the border. Secondly, they also have no incentive to allow them to cross the border because it's dangerous. Why do they want to risk their lives to stop some of these folks from coming across? We said that's their job, they're law enforcement and so forth. Well, yeah, but if you're a law enforcement officer, does that mean that you routinely just put your life in jeopardy in the service of the public interest? It's not real clear that this is the case. It's not clear whatsoever that we're willing to do so, or they're willing to do so. So at any rate, my guess is this is not just a failure of law. It's really, and says the breakdown down of the rule of law, it's really a failure of government. My proposed solution is that, and as I said, you've probably heard on the TRN program, Liberty Minutes, is that we privatize the border. That give people who have an incentive to keep people out by means of financial compensation through government-awarded contracts, the incentive to regulate people who would cross over the border. Let them, by privatizing it, let them regulate who crosses in and out. Also want to make clear that these folks don't come here, the Mexicans and so forth especially, simply because they are terrorists. Most of the people that come over here, the vast majority that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to a lot of them, I mean lots of them, that come over here to South Carolina, or I knew the ones there when I lived in Southern California, if they don't immigrate here and try to assimilate into the culture, although the government doesn't help them do that by teaching them in Spanish in public school system. But if they don't assimilate here, they usually come in because they make 40 cents an hour and they are interested in, what are they interested in doing? I'm losing my train of thought here. My producer made a comment to me, and all of a sudden I'm losing my train of thought. These people are making 40 cents an hour coming up from Mexico. They're not doing very well financially, and they come up here because they get welfare state benefits. If they didn't have welfare state benefits and there are no jobs to be offered, they wouldn't come here. That's the bottom line. That's why they come. And a lot of them come in and then leave. They don't stay forever. They come for a while, and they don't want to learn the language, don't want to assimilate, and they go back to Mexico, and they take their booty of several thousand dollars and live like kings, relatively speaking, down there. At any rate, so be it. This is the continuing saga of the illegal aliens in the United States. If you'd like to talk about illegal aliens, more than happy to do so. Give us a call here at Christian Worldview, 864-244-8177. Right now we're at the top of the hour, so we'll go ahead and jump to our break. When we come back, we'll have more great programming for you on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this morning. Currently, Greenville and Spartanburg at 73 degrees, downtown Greenville 75, Anderson 76, and Clemson 75. Today, partly cloudy, patchy fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Humid with highs in the lower 90s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is at 30%. We've been reading or talking about the illegal immigration issue and received an email from Stuart. He says, John, I had someone tell me this week that an illegal alien Mexican can get a home loan without any documentation, that is a green card, etc., other than a driver's license and get a better rate than you or me. The lending institution sees this as a huge untapped market that they cannot ignore. I suppose economically speaking, you have to understand that they're just going to do anything they can to make money. They don't really probably care. They could probably care less whether a person is actually documented or not, or... And I don't know if for a fact. I don't have any data to support this, but if what you're saying is true, it makes a lot of sense to me economically that the bank would do this. But it doesn't bode well for the whole supposed front that the United States government puts on about border security. They don't seem to regulate the banks as they make their way through different economic fronts like this and avenues. So anyway, appreciate the email there. What else have we got here? How about this interesting quote? This comes from the Congressional Record that was sent in as well. The United States Congressional Record, March 17th, 1993, or maybe it's the 1993, Volume 33. It's an established fact that the United States, it says, the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act, March 9th, 1933, 48 Statutes Number 1, Public Law 89-719, declared by President Roosevelt being bankrupt and insolvent. House Joint Resolution 192, 73rd Congress, May Session, June 5th, 1933, Joint Resolution to suspend the gold standard, abrogate the gold clause, dissolve the sovereign authority of the United States and the official capacities of all United States governmental offices, officers, and departments, and is further evidence that the United States federal government exists only in name only today. And again, this is from the Congressional Record. March 17th, 1993, Volume 33. Well, that's a good quote. What exactly does it entail? Well, some people could tell you far more than I know about these sorts of things, but simply tells us the United States had a big change in the 1930s, and as a matter of fact, had a big change in the 1860s, and it has been downhill ever since then. But essentially, all that we had held dear and true to our hearts has now been dissolved. It was long ago dissolved. The reminiscence is all we have of a free America, because the vision of our founding fathers has not only been eroded, it's been effectively attacked and dissolved by acts of the government. Well, here's some other interesting news. More major media cover-ups. Bomb went off before the planes hit the World Trade Center. This is 7/17/2005, and this has come... Where is this coming from? Well, this is forwarded to me, and it's authored by Greg Szymanski, a columnist. Two more World Trade Center workers have come forward with eyewitness testimony that a huge explosion ripped apart the lower levels of the North Tower at about the same time a jetliner rammed into the top floors. The pair not only reported hearing an underground blast, but were both injured, one suffering severe burns to the face, arms, and the hands, and others cuts and bruises after being trapped in a stalled basement elevator. Burn victim Felipe David, employed by Aramark Company, and Salvatore Giambanco, a World Trade Center office painter, trapped in a basement elevator, were both unavailable for comment, but made the explosive testimony never before released in America to a Colombian television station in 2002 on the first anniversary of 9/11. Their comments eventually aired in Colombia in Spanish in the Red Continental de Noticias, that's the network, Continental Network of news, as a part of an in-depth 9/11 documentary after the foreign station spent a month in New York in 2002 shooting the project. A copy of the original interview tapes with the RCN reporter Claudia Gurisade questioning the World Trade Center workers was made available this week by World Trade Center maintenance worker William Rodriguez, the first eyewitness to go public about the North Tower basement explosions. Well, it's interesting stuff. We've been trying to follow this story as much as possible. It sure looks like, well, at least to me, to my untrained eye perhaps, sure looks like there were a lot of other bombs going off besides the plane when you took a look at the slow motion of the World Trade Center collapsing. And it seems like we have an awful lot of disjointed testimony from a lot of different eyewitnesses that all seem to add up to, hey, this was not simply a plane flying into the plane and causing it to collapse. Plane flying into the building and causing it to collapse. Instead, it might have been an inside job. Hey, stranger things have happened than that in the United States. Why should we be so surprised? Here's some more interesting news. U.S. presidency fingerprint all Europeans, sweeping new proposals for ID cards. The U.K. presidency of the Council of European Union, the 25 government, has put forward a proposal that all ID cards in the European Union should have biometrics, that is, fingerprints on them. A document dated 11th of July says this is to meet ICAO standards, International Civil Aviation Organization, a UN body. In fact, the ICAO has agreed is that the standard passport photo, one that is sent with the passport applications, is digitized and put on a chip in passports. That this is not biometrics. Biometrics requires a physical presence of the applicant at an enrollment center to compulsorily have their fingerprints taken. So this is one step closer to greater government control and socialism. Of course, they already have that in Europe, but doing it even further, as we see here with the fingerprint requirements. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Actually overdue for a break, so we're going to go ahead and jump to that break now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production at policyofliberty.net. That's production at policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Thomas Jefferson said, "Sometimes it is said that man cannot be trusted with the government of himself. Can he then be trusted with the government of others? Or have we found angels in the forms of kings to govern him? Let history answer this question."
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And here we have a couple of articles that have been sent up by the Tyranny Response Network's research staff. "President Shut Up, Drop Dead Rebuke of Christian Conservatives on Abortion Issue Demonstrates He Is Not Pro-Life." This is by John Lofton. "Despite the impression he leaves sometimes because he doesn't speak all that precisely, President Bush does have a litmus test for his judicial nominees. He just doesn't care enough about the murder of innocent unborn babies to include the abortion issue in his litmus test. For example, in a press conference recently in Denmark, Mr. Bush said he will pick people to be judges who are, among other things, can do the job, and who are honest and bright. He also said he would look at the interests of any of his political political judicial nominees. This kind of talk is mush. In this same vacuous vein, the president might have said that anyone he names to the judicial bench might also eat all of his or her vegetables and brush after every meal. However, in the same news conference, Mr. Bush said, when asked if picking judges he would have a litmus test on abortion or homosexual marriage, no way. He said that on these issues there will be no litmus test. But why no litmus test on the abortion, which is literally a life and death issue? I mean, since 1973, more than 40 million innocent unborn babies have been slaughtered by abortion because various judges have legalized this mass murder. What's wrong with asking a possible judicial nominee before he is nominated such questions as, under what circumstances do you think judges can order the taking of human life? Do you think unborn babies are innocent human beings? Do you think Roe versus Wade and other court rulings upholding abortion were valid? When, what's wrong before asking a possible judicial nominee before he is nominated where he stands on homosexual marriage? God ordained and biblically defined marriage, the only kind of marriage there is a key part of the basic foundation of society, so why not ask a person being considered for judgeship? Do you believe homosexuals have a right to marry? How do you find marriage? So, interesting questions being raised by Mr. Lofton. Of course, we agree completely here. George W. Bush is a sellout. He's a fraud. He's an imposter. He's someone who's there to maximize his own wealth and power and prestige, as well as that of his cronies. He engages in all sorts of diversion tactics, especially the war in Iraq, but may well be the 9/11 World Trade Center event as well, and the Pentagon event. This guy, George Bush, has not been the friend of Christians, and it's unfortunate that we have so many Christian leaders, even in other radio shows and festivals of ignorances and so forth, who are proclaiming the goodness of George W. Bush, that he's somehow a Christian and that he's somehow upholding the values and principles that are dear to us who trust in the Scriptures and or believe the Scriptures. He certainly acts every way contrary to the Scriptures, as far as we can tell. He does very little that would be considered right. And we're not surprised. Not surprised at all that a Republican moderate like Bush would behave in the way that he does. Well, speaking about Iraq, we, of course, over the weekend, I don't know if you were noticing, the numbers keep climbing. Even the more conservative numbers of deaths in Iraq is now about 1,750 people, American, and tens of thousands of Iraqis. Of course, some people say the war numbers, American deaths are much higher than that, maybe as much as many as 4,000 or so Americans that have been killed. I don't know what the true numbers are. All I know that it keeps going up. 42 people, I think it was Saturday, and 100 more people on Sunday killed in all sorts of tragic events there in Iraq. It's not even clear, as we read on another alternative news source last week or so, that the bombs are all being planted by Iraqis, especially because they wouldn't blow up a mosque. It seems like some of them might even be planted by people in the United States military. There's some eyewitnesses, four or five of them now, that have claimed that. Who knows? Here is as weekend of slaughter propels Iraq toward all-out civil war. This is from James Hilder in Baghdad. Miriam Ghassan, a three-month-old girl, and this is her picture above here, is treated for injuries after one of the Baghdad bombs. And this picture was by Mohammed Uribi from the Associated Press. Iraq is slipping into all-out civil war. A Shia leader declared yesterday as devastating onslaught of suicide bombers slaughtered more than 150 people, most of them Shias, around the capital at the weekend. One bomber killed almost 100 people when he blew up a fuel tanker south of Baghdad, and an attack aimed at snapping Shia patients and triggering the full-blown sectarian war that al-Qaeda has been trying to foment for almost 2 years. Iraq's security forces have been overwhelmed by the scale of the suicide bombings, 11 of them Friday alone, and many more over the weekend, ordered by the Jordanian terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. What is truly happening and what shall happen is clear. War against the Shias. Sheikh Jalal al-Din al-Saghir, a prominent Shia cleric and MP, told the Iraqi parliament. Well, this is a sad case of the state of affairs over in Iraq, and of course, who's caused that? Oh, it's not our fault, say some people. Well, I'll tell you what. If we hadn't been over in the region meddling with other people's affairs, aggressing people that had not aggressed us, we would not have this kind of problem. And they would not have this kind of problem. The Iraq war gave a boost to the al-Qaeda network's propaganda, recruitment, and fundraising, and caused a major split in the coalition, provided an ideal targeting and training for al-Qaeda-linked terrorists, and deflected resources and assistance that could have been used to bring Osama bin Laden to justice. 72 hours of violence, here's the head count, literally. Friday, 10 suicide car bombers kill 26 people and wound more than 100, apparently coordinated attacks on the U.S. and Iraqi forces. Saturday, at least 107 people are killed and 185 injured in 5 suicide bombings, including the tanker fuel explosion that left 98 dead. Sunday, bombers kill 19 and wound 14 in 4 suicide attacks around Baghdad. So it just continues to go on. Sad but so. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Going to jump to a break if we can here, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Bush is the biggest obstacle to a conservative court, says Robert Novak, a Sun-Times columnist, July 7, 2005. Bush is by far the biggest obstacle to a conservative court. Justice O'Connor was a mainstream conservative. Kennedy said within hours of her announcement, "I hope the president will select someone that can bring the nation together as she did." Kennedy's description of O'Connor as a conservative was echoed by Democratic Senators Patrick Leahy, Chris Todd, Charles Sumner, and Dianne Feinstein, who will lead any filibuster against O'Connor's successor. Gonzalez would not exactly be another O'Connor, but he is still considered a disaster by Republican conservatives. Yeah, that's true. The Founding Fathers put the Senate advise and consent clause into the Constitution partly to combat cronyism. In Federalist No. 76, Alexander Hamilton opposed the president's nominees being in some way or another personally allied to him. Thus, the wonder in Washington is that a peeved Bush would defend Gonzalez's selection on grounds of personal pique. So much is at stake at the Supreme Court nominations that surely the president must realize this situation transcends loyalty to a friend. Yes, we don't think too much of George Bush's ability to pick a true conservative to run the court. We expect fully a communist of one form or the other, as one person told me not too long ago, or some sort of socialist, or some sort of person who's a true leftist neocon wearing conservative clothing. Here's another article out of the San Francisco Chronicle. Lawmakers try to block China's bid for UNICAL national security, cited for opposition. This whole business about the China's third largest oil company has run into roadblocks both houses of Congress over its bid by California's UNICAL Corporation, a controversial quest that has raised national security fears. Senator Brian Dorgan, a Democrat from North Dakota, introduced a bill in the Senate on Friday that would bar the Chinese national offshore oil company from buying UNICAL of El Segundo, Los Angeles County. It's right near the airport, as a matter of fact. The 70% government-owned CNOOC has presented a $185 billion unsolicited bid for the U.S. oil and gas firm. So a question has to come up then, why should we have a free market, or should government be able to restrict the sale of things to other companies elsewhere? Does it make any difference that the company is in mainland China? My initial thinking is no. Why should it? If there's a free market for it, we should have it wide open. The other question would rise then, well, can they actually damage America by owning one of the oil companies that is here or registered in America? Well, it's not apparent to me that this is the case, but I'd be happy to hear from others who would say that it would be the case and why. 864-244-8177. It's 864-244-8177. Another local issue, Anderson to consider kicking couches off porches. Here's an upstate piece for you, upstate South Carolina. Furniture compared to junked cars. For many Southerners, their favorite pastime is sitting on the porch. But what if your sitting could cost you big bucks? A new ordinance is being considered in Anderson to keep certain types of furniture off porches. Anderson City Council is working on a new ordinance that would ban traditional indoor furniture from being kept outside on a porch. I'll talk about a proactive policy to curtail your behavior. There is one for sure. The question arises, however, though, if you've got a locale like a city making an ordinance, how, you know, it can, what to what extent can personal liberty be infringed upon? Well, this is a very important question from a Christian world point of view. In fact, it's so important we're gonna take it up when we come back from this break. We've run overtime in a break before, and we're just trying to catch up where we should be here. So we'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll talk about local proactive policy when we do.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net, that's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Today, Greenville, Spartanburg, 73 degrees. Greenville downtown, 75 degrees. Anderson, 76. Clemson, 75. Partly cloudy today, patchy fog this morning, scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, humid with highs in the lower 90s, southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour, chance of rain is at 30%. So be prepared as you make your way out to your cubicle this morning, if you're not there already. Well, we've been talking about various issues here, and Joe Sobrin wants to remind us that the argument over secession was ended when the North won the Civil War. The argument over the New Deal ended because its programs were too popular to resist. Pearl Harbor suddenly put a stop to the debate over whether the United States should get involved with World War II, yet the losers in these issues had strong points that were never adequately answered. And that's the way it works, folks. the victors write history, and those who have doubts and questions about certain policies tend to be swept under the rug. And the Supreme Court is doing precisely that now with the Kelo ruling and with many of its other crackpot rulings, anti-American rulings that we see. Well, we were talking about the Anderson County Anderson County policy prohibiting regular house furniture to be set on porches. This is a proactive policy aimed at changing people's behavior. Now, the problem is, at a local level, we do want to have some proactive intervention from government. We don't want the state to do it, but we do want local government people to be able to decide how they live their lives. For instance, and the best way to do this is not through a city council. The best way to do this is actually through the use of a restrictive covenant or restrictive contract. So, for instance, in this particular instance, we might say we don't want to have couches on porches. How do you do that? Well, people in the community sign a contract and unanimously prohibit property owners from doing that. Now, after the fact, it's very difficult to do that, to control people's behavior. You have to find other means. This also goes on to from other things, from just couches. I mean, obviously, what if you have sodomites or you have or child molesters and things like that? What, and you don't want to live next door to them. What's the way that you can resolve the problem? Well, as I said, the first way is restrictive covenants. You don't allow people to behave in a certain way under contract. That's not possible. They already own their property and they turn this way. You can try to enact local rules that prohibit the kind of activity. Now, this is where it gets a little bit edgy, because generally any kind of proactive policy run by the state is evil and bad and we shouldn't have anything to do with it. But what do you do when a local community, say a neighborhood, decides, look, we don't want to have any kind of stuff like this here, you know, no homosexual bars or man-boy love association. Well, why can't they do that? As long as all of them can get together contractually and even through the political process and vote for it, it seems that you can make a good case for this kind of government simply because other people have the right to secede and move on out. I don't know that you can literally take somebody and force them on their own property to stop doing what they want to do. But you might be able to curtail certain activities with the government locally. And something I haven't worked out in great detail yet in my own thinking, but one way we have peaceful cooperation in even the most libertarian society is to allow certain groups to magnify their own differences and in the places where they live, to be satisfied and content with the way they live by means of the local statutes which they have. After all, local courts have to decide, and people have to decide in each area, what is a crime and what's the penalty for each particular crime. We're not talking about a national syndicate now. We're talking about just your part of the county or just your entire county, for instance. What would be the penalty for kidnapping, for instance? Is it the death penalty, or would it be some other penalty? Those have traditionally all been decided under the common law by local jurisdictions, and although they rely on courts from elsewhere for advice, they don't necessarily have to go along with it. They can have their own rules, and we actually like that idea. We like the idea that we could actually pull away from other people we don't like and move somewhere else and simply hold to our standards and our values as Christians that we hold dear. Christian Exodus is trying to do that when they're coming here, effectively, and take control of, or at least influence, local government to such a point where the tide is actually turned in the favor of the kind of lifestyle and thinking that us Christians actually like. So, at any rate, this is an interesting controversy, an interesting question, just how proactive should city governments get? When do they cross the line of infringing on personal liberty? On its face, it looks like it's an infringement. It shouldn't be allowed. But on the other hand, there is some extent to which local people should be allowed to set standards for their local community and for their local courts. And that's indeed a very interesting question for us to think about, especially on a show like this, like Christian Worldview. So I appreciate the Tyranny Response Network research staff sending in that food for thought for us this morning. I think it's quite important that we consider such things. And well, now there's some other things to discuss. There are always other things to discuss. Why not? But I should probably get an announcement in here or two before we forget them. We want to remind you folks that there is the tyrannyresponse.com website or the tyrannyresponse.net website. And on this website, there is a section called Related Media. And at the bottom of this Related Media section, you're going to find a link to the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. This petition went dormant almost on the weekend. Not too many people signed it. We want to encourage all listeners to go there and sign a Fundamental Rights Petition, which says to the South Carolina legislature, look, we want our rights to life, liberty, and property be noted as inalienable. That cannot be compromised by you folks in the legislature or anywhere else, especially when it comes to eminent domain or any kind of violation of property rights. So if you go online and scroll down to that link, you can sign the petition within 30 seconds. More importantly, after you read and sign the petition, please send an email blast out to your friends and neighbors. Tell them to sign it as well if they live in South Carolina, that we actually want more and more people to continue to sign this thing, obviously, so we can then take it to the media and maybe even take it to Columbia as a means of showing our support for the Constitution, the principles of the founders, and against the tyranny that the state continues to be inflicting upon us, and our liberties being eroded by or thereby. Here's another announcement for you. The Times Examiner is the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and libertarian columnists. The Times Examiner supports homeschooling, Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. You can pick up a copy of the Times Examiner at newsstands around Greenville, South Carolina, or at their offices located at 44 Pine Knoll Drive. A full-year subscription to the Times Examiner is only $25 in-state and $27 out-of-state. Call 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576 for your subscription. Hope you do. It's a great newspaper. My column appears every week in there, and this latest trend in my columns has been to talk about the theology of public policy in a more in-depth way. It's not articles you can read lightly or just casually. It really takes some thinking, but folks, that's one of the things we really lack in our day and age is Christians who are willing to think. It's easy to follow, isn't it? It's really hard to think, but we're all called upon to use our utmost capacity to serve the Lord, including all of our mind and all of our strength. And one thing we can do is become informed about issues and think biblically about the nature of the state and Christians' reaction to public policy, and hope these articles will help you to do exactly that. Well, here's some more interesting things happening today. How about fluoride? Fluoride, yeah. What about fluoride follies? Donald Miller, Jr., medical doctor, says, fluoride your water with confidence. Use high-purity Alcoa sodium fluoride with an old ad it found. The Federal Government Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the American Dental Association are holding a symposium in Chicago this weekend titled National Fluoridation Symposium 2005, celebrating 60 years of water fluoridation, July 13th through 16th. Any reason you can think of course, to have a conference somewhere, right? The CDC ranks fluoridation of community drinking water as one of the 10 most significant public health achievements in the 20th century. No speaker of the symposium will dare question the safety or efficacy of fluoride. That's now a given and become a dogma. But like in 1968 when protests against Vietnam were held in Windy City outside the Democratic National Convention, this week, protesters have assembled in Chicago to fight fluoridation. Fluoridation of community drinking water began in Grand Rapids, Michigan on January 12, 1945. It was the brainchild of two people who worked for Andrew W. Mellon, founder of the Aluminum Company of America. Doctors H. Trendley, Dean, and Gerald J. Cox Mellon was U.S. Treasury Secretary, which made him at that time, in 1930, head of the Public Health Service. He had Dean, a researcher at the PHS, study the effects of naturally fluoridated water on teeth. Dean confirmed that fluoride causes mottling, discoloration of teeth, but he hypothesized that it also prevents cavities. Cox, a researcher at the Mellon Institute of Pittsburgh, was urged to study the effect of fluoride on tooth decay in rats, determining it had a beneficial effect. He proposed in late 1939 the U.S. should fluoridate its public water supply. Fluorine is a halogen, like chlorine and iodine. It's the smallest and most reactive element in the halogen family, elements with 7 electrons in their as if anybody's going to understand that. So 7 elements or electrons in their outer shell. Fluorine exists in the natural, attached to other elements in the negatively charged fluoride, most notably the hydrogen, calcium, sodium, aluminum, sulfur, and silicon. Sodium fluoride, a byproduct of aluminum smelting, initially was used to fluoridate water. I guess they were making good use of their byproduct. Doctors and public health officials did not think sodium fluoride used commercially in rat and bug poison, fungicide, and wood preservatives should be put into public water. Oh, I wonder why it was. With several instances already on the... That just sounds pretty funny. It shouldn't be. We're drinking the stuff. Actually, you shouldn't be drinking the tap water, folks, if that's news to you. We should get a grip on that one. We should probably try our best to drink filtered water or purified water. With several instances already on record of fluoride causing damage to crops, livestock, and people downwind from industrial plants, government and industry, led by officials running the Manhattan Project, sought to put in the new, friendlier face on fluoride. Studies, however, were poorly designed. Based on these studies and its promotion, municipalities across the country started adding fluoride to their water supply. Within 15 years, a majority of Americans were washing their clothes, watering their vegetable gardens, bathing with, and drinking fluoridated water. The case for fluoride does not stand up to careful, evidence-based scrutiny. The proponents of fluoridation will not willingly admit they are wrong. As Tolstoy puts it, most men can seldom accept even the simplest and most obvious truth if it would oblige them to admit the falsity of conclusions which they have delighted in expanding to their explaining to colleagues, have proudly taught to others, and have woven a thread by thread into the fabric of their lives. There are exceptions. Two prominent leaders of the pro-fluoridation movement willingly admitted publicly in 1997-2000 that they were wrong. John Colquhoun, GDDS, a principal dental officer in Auckland, New Zealand, was one of them. And anyway, this is, the CDC justifies, it's continues to justify this fluoridation thing. Murray Rothbard, in an article written in 1992, a famous Austrian economist, describes water fluoridation as an Alcoa socialism. He says fluoridation is a especially destructive type of socialism because fluoride is a poison. It is the 13th most common element, one of the most toxic elements in the Earth's crust, and yet it's an insidious poison that produces serious multi-system effects on a long-term basis. Fluoride disrupts enzymes and does a lot of other nasty things to you. Well, I guess we can't read the rest of this article. It's just too much information here. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of reason to doubt whether or not we should be drinking this fluoridated water, folks. And if you have more knowledge about that than I do, I'd love to hear from you here at the Christian Worldview Program. 864-244-6464. Or actually, it's 864-244-8177. Sorry, 864-244-8177. You're listening to Christian Worldview. We'll come back for our final segment after this.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Warning: Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and, in the name of law, commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Here is a story by Heidi Thomas, Organic Revolution, sent in by a TRN listener. Can sustainable agriculture save the South? Bouncing down a long dirt road in Leesville, passing mobile homes nestled among Carolina pines and Confederate flags, flapping in a warm summer breeze, it's strange to think about the South, that the South may be poised on the brink of a cultural revolution. It's even stranger to think that here, at the end of the road, where goats lazily graze and bees meander through the corn stalks and rows of summer squash, is where the rebellion begins. On the farm. At first glance, Round River Farms in Leesville is like any other small farm, with chickens clucking in the coops and tomatoes creeping up trellises. What's different is how the food is grown. There are no chemical fertilizers making the corn grow and no pesticides keeping the tomato worms away. Round River Farms grows organic foods. Lately, local supermarkets and health food stores have seen a surge in the popularity of organic foods, and in response, these stores are stocking organics in greater amounts. More people probably would not equate organic farming with incendiary social upheaval. Surely organic food has long been associated with West Coast liberals and back-to-earth hippie types known for going against the grain. But organics or clean food is simply food grown without chemicals or pesticides, which could be considered more a healthy lifestyle choice than a revolutionary idea. But clean food is far more than just a healthy food choice, according to the Carolina Farm Stewardship Association of South Carolina's coordinator, Emily DeVierce, who says that it's Emile DeFelice, who has had his eye on the clean food market for some time. The only true alternative poison left is in food production, DeFelice says. The home used to be the center of production, and now it's the center of consumption. It's the production versus consumption dichotomy that offers a window in how people can change their world through choice. Eating organic food is more a worldview way of thinking. Well, he doesn't understand economics very well, but beyond that, it's very interesting that there is a market, however, for this kind of food, and I appreciate that. And it is sort of central to Southern culture, so maybe that's the way out, is what the article is eventually going to say, that we're going to end up starting our revolution by just moving over to organic food. Okay, well, that's an interesting comment from the listener, and I appreciate that that comment this morning. That was listener Ed who said that, by the way. Well, here is the Evergreen Freedom Foundation, a nonprofit public policy organization in Olympia, Washington, the capital of that state. This came out as a press release on July 14th from Jason Mercier. Supreme Court strikes a blow to people's right of referendum. The Supreme Court of Washington is striking a blow to the people's right of referendum. Court ruling allows continued legislative abuse of an emergency clause. So in some states in the West Coast, especially California and Washington, you have the right of referendum. The people can actually get together in the sense of petitioning Congress, making a petition, and actually put a referendum on the ballot and vote on it and actually pass a law popularly. You can't do that here in South Carolina, and in some ways, it's too bad that you can't. It's not the principle that the framers had in mind. It was a referendum form of government. But I'll tell you what, compared to what these scumbags and scalawags and so forth do in legislatures, and sometimes it would be much more preferable to have a referendum kind of system here. And in Washington, they're getting sick and tired of people actually standing up for their rights, so they've put the kibosh on that and have allowed the legislature to have more power than it ever has before. No surprise, perhaps, to any of us who watch politics and see our slide down the hill. Well, here I also want to give one more announcement for this thing coming up today, the Debunking Darwin Conference. Please spread the word about the scientists who find Darwinism unconvincing. Conference featuring 8 top scientists that will be in Greenville, South Carolina, August 4th, 5th, and 6th. Their reduced registration fees for students and teachers, including homeschoolers, a further discount of $20 is available if the attendee writes CSG in the comment line of the registration box. Go to PiedmontTravel.com and find the website there, or find the form there to sign up for and register. Well, we've got a caller. I want to cut short that announcement because we have a caller here on the line, and we want to welcome you to Christian Worldview. We've just got a minute left in the show. Who am I speaking with? Hello? Welcome to Christian Worldview. Are you there?
Hello?
Okay. Well, guess we'll go back and call back tomorrow if you get a chance, because we're just coming to the end of the show. Are someone there? Let's see.
Yes, go ahead and speak.
Hello, welcome to Christian Worldview. Are you on the air? Turn down your radio, please. Okay, when you call the show, make sure that you turn down the radio so there's a small delay that you, and it'll really confuse you if you try to listen to the radio at the same time you're trying to call in. At any rate, you've been listening to Christian Worldview this morning with Dr. John Coben. Glad that you did, and we look forward to having you here again tomorrow for another exciting edition of Christian Worldview. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.